we as a church have been going through a series called Go and Tell the Others. We've been going through the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew being one of the books that takes into account the ministry of Jesus Christ, that writes down the ministry of Jesus Christ, that recounts it for us. It's a historical narrative in a way. We see what Jesus Christ did on earth. We see the ministry that Jesus Christ was involved with on earth. And we see exactly why God came to earth through the Gospels and indeed our whole Bible that we have here this morning. And in the early moments of the Gospel of Matthew, what we have seen is this. We have seen Jesus' ministry unfold. See, God came down to earth in the form of a human being. He was 100% man, but he was also 100% God. And he came to dwell among us, and he actually had a ministry here on earth. And what we have seen in the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew is this. We have seen what his ministry looks like. We have seen what it entails, and we have seen what his mission is. And his mission, to put it very shortly and succinctly, is he has come to seek and save that which is lost. That's the good news, the gospel that we preach as a church, and it's the gospel that we hold on to in our individual lives. That gospel that these people and us, apart from God, were lost. We were lost in the beginning. Our forefathers were lost because of this thing called sin, rebelling against God. And then God comes to seek and saves that which is lost. And we have seen his teaching, his healing, his proclamation of the gospel. That message of repent, turn from your sins, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Turn from your sins and trust in me, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Kingdom of heaven meaning that my rule and my authority is very near. My authority, my ruling hand is here. The time of salvation has come now. The time for me to pay the penalty for the sins of humanity has come now. This is what Jesus does. He takes our sin upon him, his righteousness given to us because of what he did for us on the cross, so that by grace through faith we live to him. Now here in the end of chapter 9, we see a little bit of a transition. We have seen Jesus' ministry, and he is in a sense passing the baton off to the disciples. And throughout the rest of our sermon series, that transfers to that. Jesus is not the only one ministering. He's not the only one proclaiming the gospel, but he actually allows sinful and broken human beings to do it. That even though we are broken in this life, he passes the baton off and saying, I teach you, show you what it looks like to minister. I show you what it looks like to proclaim the gospel, and here you go, guys. You take it and run too. And the amazing thing is, it doesn't stop with these disciples here in chapter 9. We're going to see the disciples get the baton passed off, and then even 2,000 years later, that keeps going and going and going. We can go throughout the last 2,000 years or so, and we can see the men and women that God have used, and over time, the baton is here at Grandview Covenant Church. It's here in Northwest Iowa. If you placed your faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your sins, you have given up any effort to try to measure up to God on your own. You have given up sin, you've repented from it, and you trusted in Christ. This ministry is now yours. It's now mine. 2,000 years later. And it is amazing that God uses us as broken people. It's amazing that he uses us as sinful people. Gospel ministry is hard, brothers and sisters. It takes us to give up everything for the cause of Christ, but yet it's so rewarding. It's so rewarding. And it is hard for us to go out and minister, though. Because you know what? We are like sheep. We wander. We wander away from the Master, our Lord Jesus Christ. And furthermore, if we wander too far, wandering sheep lead other sheep astray. We wander away from his gospel, we wander away from his rule, we wander away from his authority. things don't go too well, and the mission can't be accomplished. That mission of saving sinners, that mission of going out to the lost and saving them, plucking them from eternal destruction that is due to all of us because of our sin, plucking them out of that fire by the grace of Jesus Christ. That mission can't be done if we wander. But yet we are so prone to wander. I'm so prone to wander from the gospel. I'm so prone to wandering from the ministry that God might have for me. We are so prone to wandering from the ministry God might have for us. In our flesh, we're so prone to wander, and we can be left wondering many things. We can wonder, how do we even minister in our cultural moment? Things look so hard on the outside. Things look so hard. There's tragic things happening in our community. Or thinking, I've tried so hard and I haven't really seen much happen. Or thinking, is there even ministry to be had? Are there people that are even willing to hear the gospel? Are there people who are even open to it right now? And so asking those questions, it's really easy to get discouraged and wander from what the Lord has for us in gospel ministry. But here's what we see in our text today. There's hope. Even though we wander, even though that we don't always see it, there are people in our community. This comes to here right now. There's people in our community in Northwest Iowa, over in South Dakota, and over in Minnesota. People in our community that are ready to respond to the gospel. Yes, they may be lost. Yes, they might not know Jesus Christ. But I guarantee you, there are people who are ready to respond to the gospel. It's the harvest, as we will talk about. So there are people ready to respond to the gospel. So brothers and sisters, let's open up our hearts to the will of God so that we might see it, all right? Here's what we're going to see in today's text. For us to see our community transformed by the gospel, because isn't that what we really want? We don't gather here at church to be a social club. We don't gather here for fun, although it is great to be around you guys. We don't gather for those things ultimately, but we gather because we want to see our community transformed. We want to see people outside of our walls come to know Jesus Christ. We want the community and more in our community to know Him and to be gathered to His loving care through the gospel. And so for us here, Grandview Covenant Church, or for you here in your lives, brothers and sisters, for us to see our community transformed by the gospel, we see two things. Our hearts must be moved towards Christ, and then our hearts must be moved out towards the others. Number one, we can't get past this. Our hearts must be moved towards Christ. Jesus' heart for lost people is very evident in the gospel. Jesus' heart for the lost is very evident in today's text. Jesus' treatment of those who don't know Him and are wandering from Him and are far from Him, the heart is very evident. Picking up here in verse 35 here of chapter 9, if you're following along with me, His heart is evident. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and all the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And so what Matthew probably means by all the cities and all the villages, it was a very limited area in the region of Galilee. But in that little area, there was all kinds of villages and all kinds of cities. And historians believe that there could very well have been millions of people, perhaps 1 to 2 million. That's crazy. In that little small area, Jesus is going to all the villages and all the cities, going to this people. It's urgent. He doesn't stop for anything. He goes, and that's his heart for his people, is to get that word out that He is the Messiah, and the time now has come to repent and turn from sin because He is the hope of the world. The time has come. He is furthering the kingdom of God. What I mean by the kingdom of God is the rule of God. He has come to be the hand of God in the world. He is pursuing lost sheep. This is his heart. He proclaims the gospel, the good news, with his mouth. He heals every disease and affliction, which points forward to that last day when we will all be healed and we will all have restored hearts before the throne of God. He does this. He starts giving indicators that saying, this is my rule. My rule is to make new. My rule is to transform. That's what was broken. My rule is to make all things new again. So that's his heart, brothers and sisters. His heart is to seek and save that which was lost, which is amazing, because we have done so evil in the sight of the Lord. All of us. We have all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all done wrong in the eyes of the Lord. We've all done evil, tremendous evil. But yet that's his heart, is to pay the ultimate price to bring us back. And so, we know this is Jesus' heart, and our hearts must be moved towards this for the mission. For our hearts to be moved towards Christ, we must see Christ's heart towards us and accept his heart. Verse 36. This is his heart for us. Hear these words. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He comes on the scene, as Ezekiel 34 says. Ezekiel 34, God is pronouncing judgment on those who are so-called shepherds but are leading the people astray. And then fast forward to our text here, religious leaders continue to lead people astray by man-centered religion, saying that you measure up to God based on what you do, not based on what God has done. And he comes and he sees these people, as the text says, they are harassed, and they are like sheep without a shepherd. They are lost. They are wandering. And I want you to hear this. This is significant. In the English, it says this. He had compassion for them. But in the Greek, the original language, it's a pretty graphic word. It's a word saying that Jesus' stomach and intestines were turned because of this. He was wretched because of this. He was wretched that his people that he created were lost. He was deeply troubled that there were shepherds, quote-unquote, leading the people away from God. Not pointing to God, but pointing to themselves and how they can measure up to God instead. This is Christ's heart towards us. Are we willing to accept that? Because if we go and tell the others, we need to see Christ's heart for us. That even though as sinners and ones that do not measure up to him at all, we need to see Christ's heart towards us. We need to see what he's done for us, church. We need to accept this in our hearts. We need to accept the fact that it's not on man that to measure up to God, but it's all on his intervention for us. We need to see by the grace of God just how sinful we are. And we need to see also how loved we are through Christ. We need to see what the gospel entails, that he bore our sins in his body, that he stood before the wrath of God on our behalf, that he paid the penalty, that we were in a tremendous debt because of our sin. We could never pay it at all. And we need to see that his love was so great, he paid it in full on the cross. There is nothing left to be paid. We need to see that. We need to see his heart for us, that his heart towards us is so great that he was willing to pay everything and give up everything for us so that we could be bought back to him. And if we don't see that, if we don't see Christ's heart towards us, if we don't see what he has done for us in the gospel, our ministry is futile if we go out. We don't have any power to go out in our communities at that point. And so for us to go out to the community with the gospel, brothers and sisters, we must know our identity in Christ. Hear these words from Romans 8. Because this is your position, brothers and sisters, if you've placed your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on your behalf. Paul writes, chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Even though we had this debt, even though that we are guilty, there is no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus. Satan might try to make us despair and feel like there is punishment sometimes, but hear these words, if you are in Christ Jesus, no matter what, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Why? Paul writes, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, and he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. So before we go out and tell the others, we must recognize what Christ has done for us. Our hearts must be open to what he's done for us. We must accept that in our own inner being and also as our church. As a church, we come to the gospel and we recognize who we are in Christ and the love which we've been bestowed on. So our hearts must be moved towards Christ. There is no, so the people out in the community who do not yet know, there is no meaningful ministry if we ourselves do not know Christ and if our hearts ourselves are not moved by Christ. But once our hearts are moved in Christ and we're moved towards Him and we are in Him, as Paul says in Romans 8, then our hearts must be moved out towards the others. So once our hearts are moved into Christ, once we are abiding in Him, we don't just stay in a little huddle for the rest of our lives. This actually pushes us out to go, because that very same heart that Jesus had for you when you were lost and wandering is the very same heart that Jesus has towards this community, brothers and sisters. And so that's what pushes us out. Once we are around Jesus and we are fellowshipping with Him, we are filled with His Spirit and His presence, we get pushed out because we have the same heart towards sinful and lost people that He does. Now we see this. Jesus pleads His heart with the disciples. We're going to sense the urgency here. He pleads His heart with His disciples. This baton is being passed to the disciples, and He's pleading His heart to the disciples. For us to go out, we must understand His heart for the lost and make it our own. Going over 35 again. So this is what Jesus was doing. He was going through the synagogues. He was going through the villages and the cities proclaiming the gospel. And so once our heart is moved by what Christ has done in this gospel, and we recognize what the gospel's done in our own lives, we recognize that the gospel has saved us from utter destruction and sin, and we realize that we have no condemnation before the Lord because of the gospel, and we stand before Almighty God as holy ones, as saints, because of Jesus, we want to go tell people if that has happened in our hearts, because it's exciting news. It's news that we don't want to keep to ourselves. We go out into our communities and share that. And Jesus proclaimed the gospel, and so do we, brothers and sisters. That saying that says, preach the gospel and whenever necessary use words, I think is the most unhelpful statements there are. We open our mouth as Jesus did. We open up the mouth and say to people in so many words what He's done for us. We see Jesus proclaiming. We see the disciples proclaiming. We see Paul proclaiming. We see Peter proclaiming. If you read the book of Acts, we see people proclaiming. Now, I'm not saying we don't live upright life through the power of the Holy Spirit either, but it cannot stop being an example. We have to open our mouths. We can't use just saying, oh, well, if we show a good example, we're preaching the gospel. It's kind of a cop-out. We proclaim it. If it's so moving in our hearts, we want to share with the other people. If that's really what is at the center of our hearts and our hearts are moved by it, we're going to want to tell people. And so we proclaim the gospel as Jesus did. And we also, when we see the crowds, we're moved with compassion. And this can only happen when Christ intervenes in our heart. And I want to ask you this. When you've looked out into the community, when you've seen your family, friends, neighbors, acquaintances who don't know Jesus and are lost, and you're headed towards eternal destruction, how often has your heart, your stomach, and your intestines been wretched by what that reality entails? How often have you been moved with compassion so much that you're sick because you see what is going on and see the destination people are headed towards without Christ? How often have you been so moved and so burdened and sad and just sorrowful for those who are not headed towards Jesus, don't have that righteousness in Jesus? Because brothers and sisters, I tell you, this becomes our heart if our heart is in the gospel and we are trusting in our Lord Jesus. Do our hearts burn for the lost sheep around us here in Larchwood? Do our hearts burn in us for the lost sheep in our community? At Awana, our friends and family, do our hearts burn? Because in Jesus, we see that there are many who are ready to hear. Our hearts burn for them, and then we go out to them. And for our hearts to be moved in such a way, the gospel has to move in our hearts first. And so our hearts burn for those outside. We go out and proclaiming the gospel. So we say, when we proclaim it, we are simply saying what Jesus has done in our life. We proclaim with so many words, here's what Jesus has come to do for you. Here's why he came to die, and here's why he was crucified. That's the simple gospel. We proclaim it. It can be as simple as saying, here's what Jesus has done in my life. Here's how he has saved me from my past and my sins and eternal separation from him. Here's what he's done in your life. And then proclaiming what he can do in someone else's life. And here's where we get into the harvest, brothers and sisters, the very exciting thing, because we see in Jesus there are many who are ready to hear, and we can accurately assess our community if our hearts are centered in the gospel. We can accurately assess the community when we are looking to Jesus. We can accurately assess our community when we have the lens of the gospel and we see our community, how Jesus saw the community here in Galilee when he was moved with compassion for the crowds. Verse 37, then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And I'll be the first to admit, sometimes I have a hard time having faith that there is a harvest at all. I think it's a huge part of our spiritual warfare experience. Satan can tempt us to despair in saying there's no work to be done in our community. There's no one that's ready to hear. There's nothing but just absolute hard hearts, and so therefore we'll just give up the mission and not go out. But I can assure you this truth found in this text here is still true today. I know and I'm persuaded that it is. The harvest is plentiful. And we need, in the gospel, to have eyes to see the harvest. Now, if you're a farmer and you have a crop, whether it be corn or soybeans, don't you think the farmer is able to know what the harvest is going to be? I don't know much about farming, but from talking with Dylan and then other farmers in the community, I've learned some interesting things. We've had a hot summer. We've had a scorching summer. It's been a hard summer, if you will, but I've heard farmers say that even despite the scorching heat and the drought, there's still a harvest, and we can still see it. We can go out and see that there'll be some yield at least during the harvest. Same is true with us as Christians. If we have the heart of Jesus Christ, if our heart has been transformed by that, we can go out and see, it's like, yeah, it's pretty hard out there right now. It's a hard cultural moment. There's some pretty dark things going on. There's some kind of messed up philosophies being floated out in the schools and just in the community. There's tragic things going on in our community. There's people who don't know him. We can see that scorching heat, but we can also see, it's like, but you know what? There is a harvest. There are people who are ready to hear the gospel. There are those who we can reap into the kingdom of God. We can gather to our community, as Julie was saying in the children's sermon. We can go out and gather them because we know and we have eyes to see that there is a harvest. We don't get bogged down by the world, but we're able to see that there's a harvest. There are people ready to respond and hear. So like the farmer who knows his harvest and knows when to go out, so is it when we are centered in Christ. We know what the harvest is in our community. We know those who are ready to hear, and we proclaim the gospel with our mouths to them so that they might be gathered to God's people by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we depend upon his heart and his heart alone for his people. Closing with this, verse 38. So there's an urgency there. We are moved with compassion. We feel a tremendous burden for our community if our hearts are centered in Jesus Christ. And then we want to go out. And here's the next step here. Verse 38, therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. Notice it says that it starts with saying pray earnestly to the Lord to send people out to his harvest field. Pray earnestly that he would send us out into the harvest field. It doesn't start by saying pull up your bootstraps and do all this thing to go out. It starts by saying hit your knees in prayer and pray earnestly to the Lord to send people out. Hit your knees and pray earnestly that people would come to know him. It starts with a conscious dependence on the Lord. It does not start with us. Because if it starts with us, we do not understand the gospel. If it starts with us, we do not understand Christ's heart. If we understand Christ's heart, we know that he is the ultimate shepherd. He is the ultimate one gathering people, that he's using us, that he sent us his spirit to do such a work. And we pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. He's in charge. It's the Lord's harvest, as it says in verse 38. He's in charge of this crop that's growing out in front of us. And he's in charge of the harvest that will take place. And this harvest is not a future harvest. It's right now. It was right now for these disciples. It's right now in our community. There are people right now who need to hear the gospel, and there are people right now that are ready to respond. So what's your heart towards Christ this morning? Have you accepted that he takes your sin upon him, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light? Evangelism is not, it's a both and. It's not a heavy and a burdensome yoke. It is hard, but it's not a hard and burdensome yoke, which means that it's put on our shoulders to handle it. Do you understand that this morning? That ministry is through the Lord. It's through his Spirit. What's your heart towards Christ? Have you given up everything to follow him? Or are you still holding on to something? Do you have a hard time accepting that you are indeed righteous and there is no condemnation before the Lord for you in Christ? Do you believe that he's truly paid for your sins in full? Do you believe that he's the Lord of your life? What's your heart towards Christ? Do you know Christ's heart towards you? Do you know that if you've placed your faith in him, that you are one that has no condemnation? And what is your heart towards the others in our community? As we consider our heart towards Christ, our heart towards ourselves, as it were, how we see ourselves, and our heart towards our community, this is an impossible thing. And the sermon is not saying if you don't have a heart that sees Christ or if you don't have a heart that sees your community, it's not a plea to do better. It's not a plea to do this, that, or the other thing, and then maybe you could see the community in Christ. No, it's quite the opposite, and it's upside down. It's saying, no, I give up everything. I look to you, Jesus. I look to you in the Word, in prayer, through church, and other things. I look to you and you alone. Because if our heart does not see who Jesus is truly, if our heart does not see who we are before Christ, and if our heart does not see the urgency and we have compassion for the community, we actually need a new heart. We can't remodel our heart on our own. We need a new heart from the only one who can make a new heart. That is Jesus. That's how we get a heart for the community. That's how we get a heart to see who Jesus truly is. There's a harvest out here, brothers and sisters. And God's wanting us to go out into it. Open up your hearts to him this morning. Open your hearts to what that might mean for you. Open your heart to what that might mean for this church. Open your heart to what that might mean for your family and your friends and your community, your career. Open up your heart and respond to the Lord of the harvest. Because time is running short. There's destruction happening all around us, and we need to go out with the gospel and the good news so that people can be reaped and harvested and plucked out of utter destruction forever to be saved and forever with a good and loving God. Amen.